This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to On Texas Football. We are getting ready to do our post-spring football report cards, all right? So in addition to what we learned in the spring game and what the all the information that we've gathered here at On Texas Football, we're going to give you grades for every position on offense. Then later on, you'll get the defensive grades as well. We're going to do offense first, of course, because it seems like the spring game, guys, was all about offense.
So, A's. Right, so, what's the next show?
Yeah, so why not start there? Yeah, it should be pretty easy to give out these grades. I think teachers like giving out these kind of grades. Before we get started, gentlemen, this post-spring report card is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So please give her a shout today. 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. So thank you very much to Laura Baker. We appreciate her and all of our support. All right, gentlemen, let's get right to it. We want to give out these grades. Do we want to build up to the quarterback position or do you want to start at the quarterback position? How do we want to do this? Because that's basically what everybody's waiting here. Should we get that last?
So last, I think we start with the big uglies.
Okay.
The tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, and quarterback.
All right, there you go. So we're going to build to a crescendo here with the quarterback.
There you go.
We'll save that. All right, let's start with the big uglies. Let's start with the offensive line, gentlemen. Your post-spring report card of the offensive line. Now that you got a chance to see a little sneak peek of them in the spring game. Jerry, start with you.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put this in two parts. Depth at Texas, A-. I think they've built out tremendous depth, and they've gone from the B category to the A category. You just look at the depth that Steve Sarkisian said it. We have three deep on the offensive line. You look at the two freshmen, Daniel Cruz, I think is going to be a star at center one day. Brandon Baker more than held his own at right tackle. So you've seen the depth build up tremendously under Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian. Then you get to the difference there is, now grading the position spring and spring game, I'm going to go B plus there. Here's my takeaway there is the depth is there. Let's see. Kyle Flood says he's got seven starters. I think that number ends up being eight guys that he's going to feel really comfortable playing. I'm going to move it up to an A after he hits that eighth guy. But look, they have an All-American Kelvin Banks. They're very experienced. The left guard, will there be a battle in the spring or not? So I think one of the things that's keeping it B-plus for me is Hayden Connor, good run blocker, but I still think they're in the B category, a low B category, if he's the starter in the run game at left guard. So that's why I'm keeping that below an A. I think Cam Williams is tremendous in the run game. Maybe a little behind in the pass pro from the run game. So, again, keeps it in that B category for me at B+. But I think this offensive line's got multiple NFL players on it, and I think they've got great depth.
Yeah. I felt like they didn't mesh well in the spring game, in the run game. Hmm. I thought they protected pretty darn well overall. Yeah. Now, they did have a couple of sacks, but – I felt like, to Jerry's point with Hayden Connor, I think he's more of a pass protector than he is a run blocker. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that you like to get on the move to help move somebody, yeah, right? And then just kind of wall people off as opposed to actually having that forward. I mentioned this at some point, guys, and my take on it is this. I'm not so sure that outside of Jake Majors, I don't think Hayden Connor's the number two center based on what we saw.
I think it's
Connor Robertson.
Agree.
And so what does that mean? I'm not quite sure. But I do think that that's a possibility. I still would give it an A- because I think it's, to Jerry's point, there's just so much talent that they just have to mesh. And we didn't necessarily see them have a chance to do that when you yank Jake Majors out of the lineup pretty early in the spring game, right? We didn't really get them see them to get a chance to establish the run, but we'll see. I like Cam Williams. I think a early comparison to Christian Jones, where Christian Jones was a much better run blocker than pass blocker until he improved this past year, is very fair. Now, Cam Williams may have more talent but and more upside, but, you know, Texas is going to be really good. I think DJ Campbell's improved. I think Kelvin Banks continues to show the sky is the limit for him. And then what can you get out of Hayden Connor and or Nato Umeozulu and Cole Hudson is the question. But I'm good with an A-minus overall. I think they have a chance also to be an A-plus unit if they gel or mesh. Rob, what do you think, buddy?
What you got, Rod?
Yeah, I was actually leaning toward A-minus or B-plus. One of the only things coming out of the spring game that you could criticize about the offense was the lack of push in the interior run game. And I think with the big humans they do have, that's one of the areas I expect them to actually shine. I expect that to be a strength of Texas because of the massive size that they have on the O-line. So it is obviously a group that has to work as a unit. So the spring game, as we all know, it's a mix and match kind of hodgepodge of different players playing all together. So you don't necessarily get a true accurate view of the offensive line, but just considering how they've been stockpiling so much talent, because I agree with Jerry in terms of the depth. I mean, I think Sark said they go four deep now on the offensive line. We haven't seen a ton. We obviously saw Peyton Kirkland, but we haven't seen a ton of attrition right there in terms of guys leaving via the transfer portal. So give credit to Kyle Flood and the Pancake Factory and the NIL and all the different factors that play a role there. But I'll say B plus. I'll just go because I guess I'm grading harshly here. I'll go B plus overall. But I love the depth. I think they could easily go from a B plus in my mind by the end of this semester, if you will. Then they could easily go to an A plus unit or an A unit. There's no doubt because they definitely have that kind of upside. So, all right. I guess I'll continue my harsh grades.
Yeah,
I'm the harsh grader around here. I'm that teacher. All right. Nobody likes my class, apparently. All right. Let's move. Sorry, Jay, you want to throw something in there?
No. I was just saying, yes, you are. And I'm glad I'm not in your class.
Exactly. See, there you go. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have passed in my class either. All right. Let's get to tight ends. Can we go tight ends separately? Yeah. And then we'll make our way to the other skill positions. Let's go with the tight end position, guys. We'll start with you here, Bobby, with the tight ends. What's your grade now, post-spring grade of the tight end position?
You know, better than expected, because I thought Jordan Washington showed me something I didn't necessarily expect. Like, I think he's 1 year away from playing a lot as opposed to possibly two. Okay. So what that means to me is he actually can give you more time this year than, you know, just mop up duty if called upon. Right. And so from a depth perspective, I would look, I think Nyblack's going to be a dude. Eventually, I think that Gunnar Helm's going to play in the NFL at some level. And you add those two together, and I know Juan Davis is kind of a glue piece for Texas. He knows the offense so well. You add Jordan Washington. I think Spencer Shannon's going to be an inline blocker. Malik Ogbo, if you're really counting him as a tight end, is a kind of a special piece that Sark likes to kind of manage, if not, you know. I would go right now probably B plus A minus. And I thought going into this year before Nyblack and Washington, I may have given him a B minus to a C plus. And only on the strength of Gunnar Helm at that point. So I think that they've added personnel. And I do think that the missing ingredient from an overall perspective is actually the fact that a young freshman he could actually give them more than just emergency time if called upon. So that would probably be me right now. B plus, A minus.
So I've split mine into two. As receivers, pass catching, A plus plus as a group, my opinion. And the reason why is Nyblack's a dang near receiver playing tight end. I mean, he is going to be tremendous. He's scary in the spring, in the screen game, and you didn't even get to see the downfield. Sark wasn't even breaking that out in the spring game. He's going to be scary in the screen game too, because he moves like a wide receiver. And then Gunnar Helm is going to be steady. But Jordan Washington, Look, if he has to play, he's not going to underperform catching a football. He's going to make plays on the ball. I give them A++ as pass catchers as a group at the tight end. I go C+ blocking. So average that, whatever you want to average it. Okay. But there's a difference because I think it's going to be inconsistency. And I think Gunnar Helm is going to be good in what he does as a blocker. I don't think you're going to be able to ask Nyblack to take on, to be in motion and take on SEC edge guys one-on-one. I don't think that's a winning proposition at this point. I think they're going to lack something as far as the tight end group in the run game, in the blocking game. So I think Malik Ogbo is going to have to be part of that on some level. So I'm going C+ as a unit blocking. If they get a little bit more consistency, that can move to a B-. I don't think that's going to be the strength of this group. I go A++ as a receiving group, Rod.
I like that, man. Jerry's detailed his breakdown of his grading system there. I'll just go overall because I am the harsh grader here. I'm going to go B- for the tight ends. And wow. By the way, that's a little better than I thought they'd be. I think overall – they're going to be situational guys. You're going to be money balling that tight end position. I love Gunnar Helm. I do. I think he's a really good player, but he's not the matchup problem that a JT Sanders was. Amari Nyblack is a matchup problem, but as a blocker, I think they're going to be too many situations where you're going to be predictable potentially because of who's in the game at tight end. You don't want that. All right. You want those guys. So if they're in the game, they can still be threats as a pass blocker and as a run blocker, but also as someone who can be a pass receiver down the field. And I don't know if you have truly that yet. Gunnar Helm's the closest you got to that. He's the guy that you can depend on to be all those things. I don't know if the tight ends they have now, if they have a tight end or multiple tight ends that can do all those things. So I'll go B-, but I feel better about that group than I did going into the spring game. There you go. All right. Continue with my harsh grades. All right. We'll get to let's go.
Yeah. I tell you what, a B- is pretty strong for a group that I think probably has three NFL guys in it. I mean, think about it now.
Yeah. But are they going to get drafted?
I think two will for sure. I think Nyblack's going to get drafted. I think Jordan Washington certainly looks like he could be a dual threat kind of guy. Yeah, and that, now he's going freshman.
Exactly. That's a young buck. How much is he gonna play in Sark's system this year? I mean, I like him a lot, but how much is he gonna contribute and play?
You also have Malik Ogbo in there. I'm arguing with you.
I go situational too. Didn't he give it away? How many routes is he running?
Hey, Rob, you give out deep. I'm going to the teacher and asking for a regrade. I turned my paper in on time, coach.
Extra credit, man. Extra credit. All right, let's get to the running backs here. I don't know why I came up with these grades. I don't know why they're so harsh. Maybe we'll soften up a little bit here. All right. Let's start with the running backs, gentlemen. Let's go to you, Jerry. What are your thoughts post spring grade for the running back position?
I'm going strong A, almost A+. And I say that because I think Texas has three legitimate players. So if Cedric Baxter went down, I think Trey Wisner is a really good player. If Jaden Blue went down, I think the combo of Baxter and Trey Wisner would be dangerous. But I think if you look at this group as a whole, and I love the freshmen, Jarrett Gibson and Christian Clark, love them. Now they're minus one guy, as Savion Red to the portal. But I think this is a solid A group because, look, I think it's a great combination. Cedric Baxter is stronger. Look, and I'm going to say this, and I think there's a misconception about Cedric Baxter amongst the Texas fan base. He's not physical. That's not true. I've never covered a running back in Florida that wasn't a physical player, by the way. Just an FYI on that. Cedric Baxter's a physical player. He just had nagging injuries last year. That guy's never backed down from contact. I think he's a stronger, more confident player this year. I think Jaden Blue is a stronger, more confident player this year. Same with Trey Wisner. I think they're so good in the passing game as a group that it elevates this whole position. And, Rod, the thing you love, I think Sark's going to play more pony package this year because those guys' versatility – and you go into the SEC and you know those edges are a little different than the Big 12. I love this group overall. I give them an A.
I can't give them an A. And I'll tell you why.
Oh,
I can't give an A. And I think that what happens if Cedric Baxter does go down? Who's the big back then? It's going to have to be one of the freshmen.
Christian Clark.
Red could have been that guy because he could carry the load in between the tackles. Now you're going to have to go to a freshman. Well, maybe one of the freshmen will be ready.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think Jade Blue, of all the players on the team right now, Jaden, I had one former college coach tell me that of all the players on the Texas football team, the one that scares you and the only one that scares you right now truly is Jaden Blue, because you can't let him be man-to-man against a linebacker in the flat, and all of a sudden they run you off deep. All of a sudden he's going to make 30 yards because he's going to beat – he doesn't even have to juke the linebacker. He just has to beat him to the edge, you know, and then wrap around. I'm a little mixed on the running back room because while I think they have the talent, and I do think I don't have any problem thinking that Cedric Baxter's physical. That run he made in the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma State on the goal line, that was a man run. And what he did in the spring game showed more of it, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with his physicality. Other than Blue, I'm not sure. I'm worried about them actually having a big back that also can break it for a long game, like Jonathan Brooks did last year. Like CJ Baxter had that one long run against Kansas State when he kind of just broke clean, made somebody beat him at the line. He never had the long runs like, say, a Jonathan Brooks or a Bijan or that sort of thing. So I would go B+ maybe because of the versatility. So I'm a little bit – maybe I'm a hard grader on running backs, Jared. I don't know.
Yeah, see?
I think in the SEC you're not going to get as many of those long runs.
That's true. That's probably true.
All right. Yeah, see, Bobby grading the running back harshly. I'll give the running backs an A-. I love what the running backs have to offer. You guys know I want to see more running backs on the field in those two tailback sets. I think CJ Baxter now is going to have that armor on. His body looks a little bit different. Love that play he had in the spring game where three defenders are barreling down on him, and he somehow forces missed tackles on all three defenders and lays the hammer down on Taff Daddy. I had everything, the epitome of what makes him an elite running back, all in one play. That's all he needed to show. So I love that. Love Jaden Blue. That Texas route they're running, guys, that little out of the backfield where he essentially is the equivalent of a slant for a running back. He almost fakes like he's going to run that wheel route on that linebacker, gets him on his skates, gets the hips turned, boom, right back inside. Savion Red ran it too. Going to see a lot of that with Jaden Blue, I guarantee you that. I like that running back room. I like the Young Bucks, Jared Gibson, Christian Clark. I like that group. A minus for me. All right, let's get to the wide receivers. Let's get some
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, this should be easy. It should be one of those easy grades. Let's start. Okay. You know what? Jerry said it might not be that easy. Let's start with you, Bobby. Let's start with you this time. What's your grade, post-spring grade for the wide receiver room?
Post-spring is a B.
Ooh. And
I know.
Wow. I know. Harsh grader.
Well, I am on these because, look, we're coming off of two guys that just – were two of the better wide receivers Texas has had in the last 10 years. And so it's almost like a replacement grade. Is Xavier Worthy really going to be replaced in this offense? I don't think so. Adonai Mitchell, is he really going to be replaced? I mean, I don't know. If you're asking me right now of the upperclassmen that Texas has, sophomores and above, how I would rank all the receivers, I would put Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell 1 and 2. And then I might put Isaiah Bond and or Jontae Cook, right? And so it's all relative for me. It's not about any individual per se, although I do think hopefully we see more of an Isaiah Bond second half performance in the spring game versus a first half performance. I have to say that kind of – that along with some things I heard about not syncing up well with the quarterbacks in the spring entirely and some drops.
Yeah.
That definitely colored my vision of the receivers overall. So post spring right now, I'm going B. I will say that I think they could be an end up at A- to an A by the time the season.
Okay.
I'm a little, I'm a little perplexed by it or a little off on it, I'm sure. But they're good, but I don't know that they're what they could be quite yet.
I actually am going B as well because, and here's my thing, it's a hard scheme to pick up. And there's a lot of newcomers in the room. I don't care how much football Isaiah Bond played at Alabama. It's a much more complex scheme with Steve Sarkisian. So I think these guys, it takes them a little while to pick it up. And then you have a special guy like Ryan Wingo who's still a freshman. Silas Bolden is not here. He's going to factor in. So I give them a B this spring, but I think this position by game four next year is going to vault themselves to an A.
All right, I like that, man. All right, I will B plus with that group. I like it. I think they're on the verge of being an A group as soon as, you know, Ryan Wingo starts to ascend even more when he becomes basically a veteran. And like you said, Jerry, familiarizes himself with the system. All those guys learn all those different positions and become interchangeable pieces. I'll go B plus right now. But I like the overall framework of that wide receiver room. All right, let's go to quarterback. This should be easy as well. I mean, all right. I'll either one of y'all want to start with this one because this one.
Yeah. So this is going to be easy. 100. I mean, I don't know what to say. Quinn's going to be a better player. Quinn will be a better player as a third-year starter than he is a second-year starter. He had a good spring. He had a great pro day. He played two series. Arch Manning, maybe the best backup quarterback in the country. Trey Owens, when he has time, looks like a really good player. And I think we'll remove the when he has time part as he gets more experience. But I think, look, this is the best position the Texas quarterback room has been in since the early 2000s when Vince Young was a starter and Colt McCoy was a redshirt. Bottom line, I give it a 100. Now they got to play like it.
I'm going to go with Jerry on this. I don't know about the 100. I think it's an A to an A plus. And, you know, frankly, the question mark there is the issue that we saw with Quinn a little bit in the spring game, didn't move the ball immediately, pressure up the middle, et cetera, maybe a thing. But I look, they are just so talented there. And as they go, this team will go. If they're going to be 12-0 regular season or if they're going to be 10-2, they will go as their quarterback takes them. And right now, I think they have two quarterbacks that can take them. And that's what I feel like was proven in the spring game, throughout the spring, actually, but in the spring game in particular.
Rod, I don't know how many games they're going to win next year, but I just saw six guys go in the first round. Texas has two guys that are going to make a lot of money to play retirement golf by the time they're 35.
Yeah. No, you're right. There is a lot of quarterback needy, quarterback thirsty teams out there, as we saw six of them taken in the top 12. And I don't know if a lot of people believe the last two that were taken in the first round, Bo Nix and Michael Penix, were a bit of an overdraft or an overreach, whatever you want to call it. Let me give you my grade real quick. I'm with you guys. I'll go A+. You could go 100. I can see the justification just because it's the best quarterback room in the country. It is. There's not a quarterback room that's better. So that is the standard. And that's why I was grading harshly, because if that's the standard for every room to be the best room in the position room in the country, that I gotta grade accordingly. And that's why everybody else was graded on that. I couldn't have you close to that quarterback room because I don't know if there's a position group that's even close to it on the 40 acres right now. Nothing even in the realm of it. It's that good. So, all right, there you go. That is our post-spring report card for the offense. Once again, thank you to Laura Baker and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams. They can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Remember, Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So please give her a shout, 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. Thank you to Bobby Burton. Thank you very much to my man Jerry Hamilton. Thank you to Matthew behind the scenes as always. And thank you guys for joining us. Until next time, hook 'em.